Tired of searching across countless DEXs for tokens and liquidity? Want an easier way of cross-chain portfolio management or a more professional trading experience? Plasma Finance gives you all available liquidity and tokens from all DEXs, guaranteeing the best price and lowest fees. Trade like a pro with limit orders and HyperDEX on Ethereum, Polygon, and Binance Smart Chain. Visit plasma.finance and experience an easy DeFi. From Decrypt Media, this is the Decrypt Daily, and my name is Matthew Diemer. Today on the show, Galaxy Digital raises a little bit of money, Binance resumes Dogecoin withdrawals, and Budweiser launching an NFT. That's coming up today on the Decrypt Daily. Good morning, everyone. Today is Tuesday, November 30th, the last day of the month, and then we're into December, my birthday month. Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry for those outbursts of whatever. I'm not apologizing for anything. I am not sorry. I got a couple emails yesterday from different listeners, and I just wanted to address them. And first one was from Brian. And Brian says this: I'm fairly new to crypto, and I've spent the last 8 to 10 months doing my best to learn about rapidly changing world. This rapidly changing world. I understand spot buying on exchanges, and now I'm trying to understand purchasing coins on DEXs and the nuances in the space. One of my questions is I'm looking for is to clarify on taxes and tokens slash coins. For example, if I had a coin that made $100 and I wanted to reinvest that $100 into another coin, my assumption is that I could just swap it versus taking it the cash in fiat. Is that a taxable event? Another example would be I want to take $100 and I want to avoid a taxable event, so I swap it for a stable coin. I hope this question makes sense. Brian, this is a good question, a very common question, but a good question, especially for people who are just getting into crypto. I want to refer everybody to the January 8th episode that I did. It was on crypto taxes. It should explain everything in a 101 fashion of what is a taxable event. And remember, I'm not a CPA. This is not financial advice. This is not tax advice, but I can tell you how this works. So Brian, in a nutshell, every purchase you make after your initial purchase is a taxable event. So let's say your initial purchase is $100 of crypto. And let's just say you sell for $200. You can deduct that $100 of your cost basis and you have $100 in profit. There's your $100 in profit. You pay tax on that $100 in profit. And let's say it's long-term capital gains. That means your $100 could either be 0 to 20%+ capital gains tax. If it's short-term capital gains tax, that means it gets added to your income and it falls within any tax bracket you fall within. So if you make $50,000 a year and you add that $100 to your $50,000, so you have $50,100 in income, you get taxed on your $50,100 income. If you make $200,000 a year, that $100 then gets added to your $200,000 income and you get taxed whatever bracket that is. And that goes with any sell. So if that $100 goes into, that $100 profit goes into another coin, you still owe taxes on that. It's either long-term or short-term capital gains. If you put it into a stable coin, you owe taxes. If you buy another coin or a token, it's taxable. If you go into fiat, it's taxable. Just because you don't go into fiat doesn't mean it's not a taxable event. And here's the catch to this. There's always a cost basis to something that you own. So you're not going to be able to skirt and say, oh yeah, I got it from somewhere. Either you got an airdrop, you mined it, or you bought it. And they're going to want to know where it came from. You're going to have to prove the paper trail. And that's the thing about crypto. It has a very easy paper trail. So pay your taxes. Everything is a taxable event if you buy or sell. Unless you're putting it into a 401k or some kind of Roth IRA, then it's a different kind of ballgame of when the taxes are due or how it's taxed. That's a longer story. I think we have an episode with that too, Roth IRAs. Anyway, it's taxable. Really quick, I want to give a shout out to Paul for writing an email. Thank you, Paul, for writing the email the other day. And Skylar wanted to make sure that I got my facts right when it came to AMC's NFTs yesterday. And Skylar wrote back and said, just wanted to respond to some of your comments you had today about the Spider-Man AMC NFTs. It may be the first time for AMC, but it's not the first time a movie chain has done an NFT. Cinemark did it with its newest 007. Also, the first official Marvel-approved Spider-Man was done before. So this is not the first one. Also, thank you, Skylar, for sending the Bored Ape rap song. So I think I did say that this was the first Spider-Man NFT with AMC, and I didn't clarify that it was the first one with AMC, not the first movie NFT in general. So I apologize, and thank you, Skylar, for writing in. And finally, a listener wrote in that said they wanted to put their opinions into our Metaverse chat, and no questions. an anonymous fan, wrote in and said, I just wanted to drop my 2 cents in the metaverse bucket. I've dabbled in VR chat, Sensar VR, formerly Second Life Project, and Decentraland. And I think overall, most projects' executions is weak, but their appeal is strong. People are looking for a place to express themselves and connect with one another. And the verse that it gives us most freedom to create and connect will ultimately be the one that wins. People love VR chat because you can do almost anything and be almost anything. And I think as a generation of iPad kids and other gamers become more powerful parts of our economy and our culture, the on-ramp for the metaverse experience is going to be accessible and rapid. And for business use cases that aren't entertainment or media focused are probably irrelevant in the long-term success of the metaverse. Just like crypto, the value will always be connected to the humans that use their creativity to fuel new ideas and new experiences. From No Questions. Thanks everybody for writing in, and thank you for your opinions and thank you for your questions. Again, you can always reach out at MatthewAaron@decrypt.co. And let's get into those crypto prices.
Here comes the money.
Here we go. Money talk.
And I'm recording this at 10:45 Eastern Standard Time. We have Bitcoin sitting at $58,520, up 2.6% in 24. Ethereum at $4,600, wow, $680, up 8% in 24. Binance Coin at $630, up 2% in 24. Tether number 4 spot in Solana, $216, up 5.5%. Rounding off the top 10, we have Cardano, XRP, USDC, Polkadot, and Dogecoin. Total market cap, we're at $2.68 trillion. A BTC dominance of 41.4% and an ETH dominance of 20.8%. And now it's time for coin of the day. Our coin of the day today is Happy or Hoppy, H-A-P-I, ticker H-A-P-I, ranked number 873 on CoinMarketCap. Current price is $49.44, down 8% in 24. Current market cap is $24.2 million. Fully diluted market cap is $49.4 million. 49% is in circulation. All-time high for this coin is $211, so it's down almost 80%. It was set 8 months ago, and its all-time low was 9 months ago, which is hilarious, but its ROI, total ROI, is 886%. You can buy it on Shitcoin Mecca, KuCoin, Uniswap, Mexi. Seems quite a bit liquidity here, so yeah, Hoppy. So what does Hoppy do? Hoppy, launched in 2021, offers a set of cross-chain smart contracts designed to provide real-time data on stolen funds and compromised wallets. Huh, that's interesting. The data provided by the platform is integrated with smart contract security audits. That's very interesting. Link is in the show notes. Check this out. I don't know why they have a value and why they need a token. It's pretty cool. Don't know why it goes up and down if that's what they do. Data analysis. Real-time data on stolen funds and compromised wallets. That's number 873, ticker HAPI. Moving into today's headlines. Galaxy Digital is looking to raise $500 million through sale of 5-year convertible bonds in exchange for stocks in the company. These notes will return their hodlers 3% interest and are set to mature in 2026. Now the question is, why are they raising so much money? Well, it's to fund their new mining operations. As of Halloween of 2021, the firm managed over $3.1 billion in assets, the most notable which has been a Galaxy suite of crypto exchange traded funds, or ETFs, in Canada. Last month, Galaxy Digital raised another $325 million for its Galaxy Interactive Fund, which is focused on the fast-growing crypto games and art space. Mike Novogratz, the CEO of Galaxy Digital, is raising a lot of money at a very quick rate. It should show you that the crypto industry is not fading and institutional interest is hotter than ever. In this next story, we have a little bit of hackery, but maybe it's good hackery. Hong Kong-based Jane Wong, who has gained fame for his skills in tinkering with code and apps such as Instagram and Spotify to discover features that the companies have yet to announce, found a way to add Ethereum to her tip wallet in Twitter. So now, if you guys remember, you can add like Cash App or Bitcoin to your tips in Twitter and people could pay you for your awesome tweets. Well, they never had Ethereum. We didn't even know they were going to add Ethereum, but she added Ethereum. Why? Because it's been there. The ability to get tipped in Ethereum has been there since at least September, she says, but I don't think that was widely available. So she did her magic and basically put the address into her tip jar, and now she can get Ethereum. So crypto Twitter did what crypto Twitter does, and they started speculating that Jack Dorsey, stepping down as CEO, is going to usher in a more pro-Ethereum attitude at the company, because we know Jack Dorsey loves Bitcoin, doesn't really like anything else. And as Jack Dorsey steps down as CEO, is promoting the CTO, Parag Agrawal, to the CEO position. Jack Dorsey is going to stay on the board until his term expires in May of 2022. But the question is, what does this new CEO, what do you think? Email me, Matthew Aaron at decrypt.co. What do you think this new Twitter CEO would do for the crypto integration of Twitter? We know that the tips have been added. Ethereum's now there. Do you think we're going to be more bullish, more crypto and blockchain integrated Twitter? Or do you think he's going to scale it back? Let me know what you think. If you guys remember last week, we had an episode called Billionaires Beef. And CZ Zhao, the CEO of Binance, and the CEO of Tesla and SpaceX, Elon Musk, they had some beef. And, well, what was the beef over? Dogecoin withdrawals. They were down to a, in quote, technical issue from withdrawing from Binance. And this tweet originally from Binance said this: since this incident occurred, Doge Network has been providing us with support, but we have to rebuild the wallet entirely, the Doge wallet they're talking about, which is causing a delay that we expect may last another week or so. This is from Binance. And the honorary Dogecoin CEO wasn't happy with this and said something. Elon Musk tweeted, "Hey CZ, what's going on with your Doge customers? Sounds shady." Binance's official Twitter was the first to respond, saying that the issue was not shady, but it was frustrating and we're working on it. Musk then tweeted, said Doge hodlers using Binance should be protected from errors that are not their fault. CZ then said, "Elon, we're pretty certain that's an issue with the latest Doge wallet. We are in communications with the devs. Apologies for any inconvenience that's may have caused you." And then CZ tweeted, "What happened here?" And this is a link to a Tesla software glitch that caused nearly 12,000 Tesla cars to be recalled for safety concerns. Musk then said, "I don't use Binance, so no inconvenience to me personally. Just raising this issue on behalf of other Doge hodlers." And then CZ kind of rolled it back, said, "I appreciate it. I overreacted a little bit because of the word shady," and he says that we're working on it. Well, long story short, Dogecoin withdrawals are now activated on Binance. Everything's all good. Nobody lost any funds, just a little bit of inconvenience. We're back to normal on Binance. And finally, Budweiser, the king of beers, apparently, is launching its own NFTs, and they'll be an entry pass to the company's larger ambitions in the crypto space. Budweiser released its first series of NFTs, dubbed Budverse Cans Heritage Edition. The series will span 1,936 individual NFT collectibles. Referencing the year the company first started releasing beer in cans, each NFT will feature elements of classic photos, ads, design documents, charting the history of the brand, and so on and so forth. Budweiser said this on his Discord: "These NFTs will act as your key to the Budverse and unlock exclusive benefits, rewards, and surprises." And it didn't say anything about legal drinking age, so it might be for everybody. Anyway, they have NFTs. Oh, how much do these cans cost? Well, Budverse cans will be sold in two rarity levels: core cans, which cost $499 a piece, and gold cans, costing $999 a piece. This is Budweiser. This is Budweiser. I mean, if you like Budweiser or Bud Light, I mean, more power to you. It's an easy drinking beer. But it's Budweiser. $500 and $1,000 for Budweiser NFTs? Well, this is my skepticism, where my skepticism is usually wrong, and these things will probably be worth $1 billion a piece. Anyway, be careful. DYOR. And let me know if you buy any Budweiser NFTs. Matthew Aaron at decrypt.co. Thank you everybody for listening to this episode of the Decrypt Daily. I'll be back tomorrow. As you know, tomorrow will be Wednesday, and then I'll be back on Thursday, and then I'll be back on Friday for weekly roundup. So stick with me through the end of this week. Lots of news, lots of bullish news. I can feel it in my bones. Until tomorrow, happy hodling, everyone.